The privilege to be with you again tonight, and as we continue this study together, and the subject tonight is about service to the Lord and being faithful in that. And I'm going to first of all just seek the Lord and about our time together and ask his help. Father, we are so grateful that we have your word, and we're so grateful, Father, that the name of Christ is above every name, and that we can come to you and we can look in your word and be refreshed and replenished and directed and guided in all that we do. And I just beseech you that you would be with each of us tonight. Help me to speak and help us all to listen to your word and gain from it and be a blessing all the time as we become more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Again, thank you for this time, and speak through me and be with us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, to say that the roles of men and women have been under pressure and skewed in our age and society is probably putting it mildly, and I think everyone here knows that. A difference in roles does not equate to a difference in importance or value, as many would claim. Instead, the importance of the roles is found in compliance with God's directives and commands. He knows always for us what is best. We are to trust him, aren't we? Those in Christ will seek to preserve the biblical differences between men and women and their roles as determined by God and given in the scripture, so that they will honor Christ and trust him who formed us, both male, of course, and female. We believe the Bible teaches that men and women were created to complement one another, and that roles under attack by Satan, who desires to destroy the home and break all of that apart, and he's made a lot of progress, hasn't he, in doing so, sadly. So we must be, just at the start here, what I want us to be is scripturally aware that society is obviously being driven by the evil one, Satan, for whom John says in John 5:19, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so it's no wonder that these things that are unreasonable and that are really off the chart nutty in every sense of the word are taking place in our time. And he will use the pressures that he bears through this against male and female roles and the complexity of our lives that we live in this age. And it is a complex age to live in. There's a lot of distractions. And he uses that against us. He finds every avenue to come at us. And he especially targets Christian homes. Now, living is indeed complex in this age. There are many things that must be done, and a great deal expected out of all of us as a woman. Some of you are wives, some are mothers. You have some awesome responsibilities. And personally, in the midst of this, I like to fall back on simplicity. Simplicity, not complication and multiplication of confusion. And really, the simplicity is found in the Holy Scriptures. Personally, what we must do in our lives is prioritize our roles, our obligations, according to God's Word. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to ask you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you know that the Corinthian church was a mess. And so there's a lot of things of counsel that Paul had to give them. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 3, if you would, please. Paul says, I am afraid that as the serpent, and notice that he's involved in this, deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now, this is an amazing analogy. He's talking about comparison with Eve, who began the state of sin and misery of which billions of offspring have faced now for thousands of years. And to put it in the same category displays the serious nature of the error Paul is concerned with here. Paul will explain their shameful tendency down in verse 4. He says, for if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. In other words, they're getting their head turned in the wrong direction because they're listening to the wrong voices. Where do we listen? God's Word. We measure everything according to the precious, holy Word of God. So the major theme here would be deception, just like Eve. And we can be misled, fooled, and here fooled from the path that is pleasing to God very easily. Nothing should be worse to us than displeasing our Lord, to going against the Holy Scripture. What it is to be misled is that here the simplicity that is presented by Holy Scripture and the purity of that in Christ in devotion to Him, appropriately added to diversions that simply failed to exalt Christ, His person, and His Word. They refocus even on so-called, could be, good things, but not the best things. Simplicity is a Greek word which means singleness of focus. Singleness of focus with sincerity. It's a devotion with sincerity. And purity, hagnates, is cleanness and pureness and means nothing is mixed in. Nothing is confusing with the Holy Scripture and the directives that are given to us. And they're very clear. And that's why he calls it the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Because Satan would have the focus move from Christ to anything else. Even some so-called good things, anything to distract. And some of them are good things. But they must not replace pure devotion to Christ. Now, the point to always know is that Satan wants nothing more than to distract you. You're not exempt from that, and I'm not either. Anything but Christ. And unfortunately, I've fallen in lots of traps in my years of of living. And I this kind of thinking should help you in that regard. Because the simplicity and purity to Christ is not negotiable, is it? 1 Corinthians 16:22 says this, and it is really, really sharp. Paul says, if anyone does not love the Lord, he's to be accursed. And you know that love means putting Him first. Love is connected with our obedience to Him. So, let's see priorities as life speeds up and presses its duties upon us, and we become literally engulfed in so many different things. The issue of priority is a big deal. It takes a role helping us to sort out life and think and live above whatever our circumstances are. And in the midst of this is the words of Christ for every one of us, and that is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we exercise that love for Him by obediently reading, studying, knowing His Word, and following His Word. What is number one for us, and how do we foster it and express it? Okay, our passage tonight is found in Luke chapter 10. And at first reading, you may think this verse, beginning in verse 38 to 42, this little account that's inserted here, you may think, well, what's the big deal about this? But it is a big deal. There are four verses that tell us a lot. Let me read it. Now, as they were traveling along, and the they there, we're going to understand, is Christ and His disciples, He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with her preparations, and she came up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." That's a pretty neat little package here. And here's, I hope you can see the distractions going on. That here's the Lord of the universe sitting there, and here he's going to their home, and this is an amazing thing. And this section of Luke has to do with Christ's ministry of teaching. Now, what Christ was teaching was so contrary to His day, so different and so needed by the people, that this is the emphasis here as well. It's a very needful teaching. Teaching that was opening ears and opening blind eyes. And it's no different today. What is needed by everyone who is naturally immersed in a world dominated and controlled in evil is in being pushed and pressed by deception, even often in the name of Christ. There's a lot of deception. What's foremost important? God's truth. God's truth. Rightly divided, as Paul would tell Timothy, or rightly understood, rightly expressed. And of course, no one expressed the truth of God better than Christ. His word speaks like nothing else in our society, our world, and is so needed. Now imagine with me just for a moment that the God of the universe, He who made all things, is coming to visit your home. Think about that. I mean, it's hard to comprehend, isn't it? And what would you do? And how would you act? And what would be your top priority? In a real sense, that scenario exists and continues today, doesn't it? You've got a lot of, I'm sure everybody's got a whole plate full of stuff going on that you having to shuffle around and do all of that. But priority to know Him, to listen to Him, really remains the same. And so what we're talking about here is setting our priorities. Now verse 38 says, as they were traveling along, the they there, means that it was him and his disciples, and several things are going on. Christ is ministering to those they encounter and to His disciples. Earlier, we won't go there for time, but in verses 1 to 10, Christ gave instructions as to how they should proceed. If they were invited into a house, they would go in and sit down and be a blessing to that home and eat and partake and rest and all of that. But if that house would not receive them, they were to shake the dust off their feet, and their responsibility to give them the truth because they had rejected it was over. And so their affirmation was based on their reception. So the hospitality they receive has importance in their ministry, and Christ is bringing the truth. Nothing has a higher value of anything. Nothing compares with knowing God's word, his truth that transforms. Now let's remember, who is Christ? He is the word, according to John, right? John, right off the bat, in the Gospel of John. And so they come to Bethany from other texts. This woman named Martha, we know that it is Bethany, even though it doesn't say so here. And of course, a little later, John will tell us, of course, that her brother Lazarus dies and the Lord raises him from the dead. Now, we don't know her motive or anything at this point, but we know that she is a woman of hospitality. Very important in that day. And you know, there weren't any motels and hotels to stay in. It was contingent upon hospitable people to take in strangers that were passing by. And it says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary. She will become the central figure in this brief story, and that's so important. Now, there's no mention of a husband, but we will learn later, of course, about Lazarus. Now, Mary, it says, is seated at the Lord's feet. Now, this was not even done by women in that day, but she's doing it, which is kind of neat. And what the idea is, that she wanted to be as close to the Lord Jesus as she could possibly be. And she's listening, it says in verse 39, listening to his words, her word. Now, a lot of people in our time say, Lord, Lord, don't they? Christ talked about that in Matthew 7. But even though they say, Lord, Lord, I believe. But it isn't really the priority for them to come and really hear the truth. They're just satisfied with something they did religiously, and that's pretty sad. Because the Word of God is very clear. We're to yearn for the Word of God, Peter says, like a newborn babe yearns for milk. And there's a big difference in people. If you can look back at Luke 8:20, it's amazing how this is displayed even by the Lord Jesus when he's talking about his own relatives. It says in verse 8:20 that your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. And what does Christ say to them? My mother and my brother, in other words, those that are the closest to me, are these who hear the word of God, just like Mary, and do it. They're interested in his word. So far we have a woman who is intensely interested in learning from the Savior, and so much so, it appears she cares little about what others think. She's going to sit at the feet of our Lord, and it's a wonderful testimony, as we're going to see. It pleases the Savior, doesn't it? Verse 40, back in our text, chapter 10, verse 40 of Luke. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Here we are. And she came up to him, that is the Lord Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. A distraction from what? From the priority of listening to the Creator, God, and the Sustainer, for whom all things were made and all things are held together, is sitting in her living room, and she's busy worrying about all the extraneous things around that. Now, we can sympathize with this. I can. Because women are told, you're to be serving. You're to be servants. If we took the time to go to Proverbs 31 and see the woman of excellence, we would find that that's the majority of what she was doing. But we would also find right in the middle of that, I think it's about 26, that she was a woman of the word. And that drove everything that she did. And so the priority here is time spent in the word, isn't it? That's the same thing today. Time spent in the word. And that's what you ladies are doing here tonight. Now, it's right to entertain guests. We see that in 1 Timothy 5:10 and Titus 2, 4, and 5, and 1 Peter 4:10. And certainly there's nothing wrong with a woman being a keeper at home, right? That's all appropriate. But everything has a priority. What is the top priority? What is the by far top priority, I should say? We have a teachable moment here because her priority at the moment is wrong. She's fussing around and losing sight of what it means to hear the Lord of the universe teach privately and personally. And it wasn't bad enough that her priorities are wrong, but it affects her attitude. She not only gets angry, fussy, of all things, she engages our Lord in her mixed up priority. Here is Christ teaching, and she says, Lord, could you just hold it there for a minute? That's what she's saying. Here's the Lord Jesus teaching. Hey, wait, hold it right there. Just hold it. Imagine this, that the Lord Jesus didn't care about the food. In fact, we have elsewhere he talks about that. He came, what, to teach the truth. And if he ate or he didn't eat, it would matter to him or little, to him or the rest. He said elsewhere, when pushed to eat, that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. That's John 4, 34. And then she says, and this is a real incredible statement, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care? Think about how crazy that is. This is Christ Jesus, who shortly thereafter will go to the cross and bear their sins as believers in him, and the sins of many. And here she's really, in this ridiculous statement, she's lost track of what's going on. Lord, do you not care? The one who we are told to cast all our cares upon by Peter. So this shows the degree of a good person who can act when off the track and operating by their emotions, because that's what this is. And that's why this is given to us. All Christians have a single priority of purity, of devotion to Christ, to hear the revealed word. Back in verse 39, we learn of Mary, and Mary becomes the central figure, as we said. Christ said in Luke 6, 47, I'm not for time going to turn there, but everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, he goes on to say, it's like one who builds his house on a rock. Or if we go forward to Luke chapter 11 in verse 27 and 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. She had a desire, Mary did, to hear the word of God as she grasped the amazing opportunity. In verse 41 of our text we read, but the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. That little phrase, Martha, Martha, that should remind you, I'm sure, when you were a kid, when your mama wanted to really get your attention, she said, Betty, Betty, or Belinda, Belinda, or something. Along with Brenda, Brenda, or Karen, Karen, or whatever. To get your attention, and that's the same thing he's doing here. In tenderness and in sympathy, but it is a necessary rebuke. You are worried, unduly concerned is the idea, bothered, therubazah, only a few things, he says, are necessary, really only one. And it was time to hear the word of God, really only one. This is the simplicity of devotion to Christ, isn't it? You know that Deuteronomy 8:3, and I think of this every time I eat a piece of bread, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's more important than our food, than all the little things that can trap us and get us distracted, even good things, and they're certainly good things. Nothing is better than hearing the Lord speak, and nothing is as important, and nothing compares. And that's true then, and it's true today, because we have been given His Word, and nothing is more important than divine truth. It is always the priority, and it should be in every life, because we have God's perspective, which is the foundation for everything, for living faithfully to Him that in a way that pleases Him. And I hope we get that, and I think you do. You see, this little incident appears very simple, doesn't it? And I think it kind of appears unimportant, but it holds a great, great reality to recognize what we need for our focus and priority. Verse 42, he says, but only one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Top priority. Not all the things that distract and keep people out of coming to Bible study or coming to hear the Word or reading the Bible or being interested in it. They've got all these things pressuring and distracting. Who's behind that? Only one thing is necessary. And he says, for Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I think when he says that, he's saying, because she has acted obediently, because her interest lies in the words of God, the truth that sets men free, God will honor that and bless it. He'll bless it in all eternity, as a matter of fact. So what has a greater position in our life than our relation to Christ? Nothing. Nothing. And yet still we have our priorities very often in other places, and we can get caught in a trap, just like this little account that's been included in Scripture has told us. In closing, and I'm right on the time barrier, look at Psalm 27. You see, of course, in the Psalms, you see a heart of from the various writers of people that loved God. And even though this was written 3,000 years ago, approximately, the things that are written here are true today, just like they were then. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Now in that day, there was a lot of object lessons in that temple, and that's where they went, to be near to God and to try to understand His plan. Today, we have the written word. We are absolutely better off in every sense of the word than they were then. We have so many blessings with regard to that, and so many opportunities. I hope that we're taking full advantage of those and realize how important they are to Christ. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, the one thing I do. In fact, I'm going to go there. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. He's talking about, has he arrived at a certain place in his relationship with God that he can just let his hair down, just take it easy and cruise the rest of the way out? No. And if he couldn't, we certainly can't. He says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, he's our example, and we're called to do the same thing. Our lives are full of many responsibilities, many activities. These can control us and skew our priorities. If you think about it, now think with me, isn't this precisely what unsaved people do? They're so caught up in all the stuff, trying to manage it, trying to get ahead of the game, trying to keep everything under control, and this and this and this and this and this and all and multitudes of things. That's what the unsaved do, and their lives are focused on everything but Jesus Christ. What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul? We're living now, preparing for eternity. And we should be living for eternity, not for the world. We understand what's going on around us. You understand that. And being in God's Word will also keep us from being frustrated over stuff. I get frustrated over stuff. I'm going to admit it. But I have to keep coming back to the Word of God, because that stuff matters very little and not miss. We don't want to do that. What really does matter, and that is my relationship with Him. To know Him, to please Him, to live before Him forever, right up to the day we exit. Hallelujah. How wonderful that will be. Thank you, ladies, for allowing me to come and talk to you tonight. Let me close us in prayer. Father, we do thank you that you've given us so much practical instruction in your Word, and we are without excuse. Help us, dear Lord. Each one of us in our own realm and in the roles that we play in life and society, to be different, to be set apart unto you, to know you, to live for you, and be a light to those that would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Or as 1 Peter 3:15 says, that we sanctify you as Lord in our hearts, being ready to give a defense to anyone who asks of us the hope that is within us. Well, Father, I pray that would be true of all of us. Thank you for this time together. Thank you again for your precious Word. We praise you in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.